Good morning. I do want to thank Dave for the song selections. I think sometimes we throw song leaders a curve, and but I said just follow your heart, and he nailed it. Thank you so very, very much. If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 5. We will be looking at verses 39 through 43 here in a few moments. As Dave shared with you, and I want to share with you this morning, I want to share with you my thoughts on the subject of honor. The Christian and honor in our lives. And it was one of those things, as I was looking on the subject, I was kind of vacillating on which direction I wanted to go. But I knew two things. I was going to talk to God's people, and I was going to talk about honor. So I thought I could roll with this title right here. But I'll share with you here in a few moments the direction I want to go. And sometimes I like to share with you what inspires me on some of these sermons, if not all the things that both David and I present. And this one was pretty simple. It was just how overwhelmed I was at the power and the prominence of the subject of honor in the Bible. Just every time I sit down to read, every time I engage in a Bible study. This morning we talked about honor in Timothy, and that was just all coincidence. And from the beginning to the very end, we begin with seeing honor to God. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. But under that umbrella, you might say, of honor to God are a number of things that we are to do, instructed to honor our fellow man, honor our relationships. And I'm going to read off a couple here, and we'll get to some in a little bit more detail. But the first one I wrote down is we are to honor our father and mother. And I couldn't help but be appreciative of Tim and Aaron taking care of your mom, Tim, during these years, and honoring her and showing that to your children and giving us an example. And I know it's not just Tim and Aaron. I know many of us have taken in our parents who have gotten kind of up in years a little bit and need our help throughout this life. And to continue to demonstrate that honor, just I want you to know that you to be commended and that we are watching. We are commanded to honor the elderly, points out in the book of Leviticus. We are commanded to honor our church leaders. We've looked at this in our study in Timothy. We've been commanded to honor those who serve Christ faithfully. We're to honor our marriage commitment. I'll come back to that here in a few moments. We're to honor those who hold government offices. And there's so many more things we could talk about as who we honor and how we honor. But time's not going to allow me to cover it all, so I'm just going to kind of do a general approach to this idea of honor. But we want to ask the question, what is honor? And by that, let's just give it a definition. The biblical words for honor can have a variation of meanings. It can have various shades of meaning, but simple definition is of honor means to esteem and treat others with respect because of who they are and what they have done. Honor has a sense of value, has a sense of price, a sense of quality. That which is valued, that which we esteem, is that which we honor in our relationships and, of course, honoring God. And the biblical use sometimes can mean to seek to enhance someone's reputation. Close terms are glory, glorify, loyalty, and I may use those interchangeably. But honor is taught in the scriptures has everything to do with one thing, and that is the command to obey God. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, we looked at this morning in our Bible study. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Once again, that is the subject for honor. That is the subject of which we as Christians must pursue and look at when we walk into our lives and go about our daily lives of expressing honor to one another, to our fellow man, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The essence, the very essence of what it means to honor God can be found in Matthew chapter 22, what Jesus called the first and greatest commandment. In verse 37, he says, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment." This is the essence of honor. And this is what you and I want to continue to look to all the time when we consider the subject of honor. Now, if you would, turn to John chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 39 through 44, and this is going to kind of be the foundation subject for the things that we're going to spend the rest of the time on. And I'm not going to elaborate on a lot of introductory things other than Jesus is speaking to Jewish leaders. Up in this chapter, we have those witnessing the Christ. But let's pick it up in verse 39. Christ saying, John chapter 5, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And that is they that bear witness of me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come into my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" Now here, these leaders knew Scripture. Let's just kind of set the scene. They knew Scripture. I would go as far as they memorized it. But something that we want to point out that the Lord is going to bring out here, simply knowing the Bible and being able to navigate through it doesn't make us a disciple of Christ. I have sat down with people who have phenomenal knowledge of the Bible. I did a one-on-one debate with a gentleman in Lake Elsinore who would have nothing to do with the Bible, but his Bible knowledge was unbelievable. But he wasn't about to believe it. But Jesus makes an important point here in verse 42. "I know that you do not have the love of God within you." How does Jesus know that? Well, recognize the fact that he is God and he knows our hearts. Look at verses 42 and 43. "I have come in my Father's name and you did not receive me. If somebody else comes in their name, you receive him. And I know this because when you receive glory from one another, you do not seek the glory that comes from God." The thing that the Lord is pointing out here, and the Lord is really kind of dropping the gauntlet on this and talking to these Jewish leaders, they were accepting glory from one another, but not seeking the glory that comes from God. They were looking for approval from one another. They were looking for the pat on the back, the attaboys, all those types of things. And the Lord says, "No, that's how I know that you don't love me." We live in a society, and there's nothing new under the sun. I always struggle with that phrase. We live in a time, we live in a society. There's nothing new. But we live in a world that honors and glorifies the external glory from others. This is the world around us. This is, and even in the religious world. I was thinking over the last 30 years of how many, I'm just going to say, religious leaders have fallen because they came victim to the honor and praise of men. The words that the Lord is giving us here, we really would do well to pay close attention to. We need to let them cut deep into our hearts and into our minds. Because we're talking about a choice here when it comes to honor. We're talking about choosing to honor God. We're talking about the choice to honor man. One's going to bring an eternal reward. The other one's going to bring a lot of pain and suffering. I look at it like this. I cannot live the Christian life without the honor that comes from a relationship with God. It is impossible. I can't be faithful. I don't have the power to do so. Because my honor is not based on my relationship with God. Because to be honorable requires an act of sheer will. I have to decide that. I have to decide, who am I going to choose? Am I going to follow God's word or am I going to follow Satan's lies? Am I going to let Satan reason with me as I listen to the praise and honor of men and get me to feel that that's more important at this time or moment? It's the choice of following the fruit of the Spirit or satisfying the desires of the flesh. But the honor that we're going to speak of this morning The honor that sinks its roots into a relationship with God and with His Word is the kind of honor that maintains its integrity no matter what comes. I want you to think of it like this. Every day of our lives, we are faced with commitments and choices that require honor. Honor in our speech, honor in our thinking, honor in our actions. In fact, we are never lacking an opportunity to honor God. That's what's so beautiful. We are never without an opportunity. Let me just share a couple of things with you here. The integrity at our jobs, the integrity at our schools. To go to work, to go to school, and to demonstrate to our friends, to honor them and to be respectful of them. To show them what honoring God means. Dealing with people in this world. People can be frustrating. I don't know if you knew that or not, but people can be really frustrating. You go out there and you're at the grocery store or the fast food line or something. That's another opportunity to glorify God and to show God honor and to honor our fellow man. In our homes, in our marriages. My wife has made a request of me. Please back off on honoring me in your sermons. After this one, I'll start doing that. No, I want to share something with you. And I want to respect that. But the honor in our marriage is of the utmost importance to me, and I believe to all of you who are married and enjoy that relationship. In my line of work, I teach classes, as you know, and everything's online format. When I get going in the morning, we do these little warm-ups, but there's always an opportunity to talk about Carolyn. I'll say something about her schooling or something about kids and stuff. And why do I do that? I'm going to tell you why I do that. Because I honor the marriage relationship. I want my students to know that I am happily married. And I'm hoping that maybe they will see, just in a few moments, maybe a few comments, that you can really be happy with a relationship with God as the center of your relationship. That's why I do it. Because I want to hold that relationship in honor. And I want to share that with those I come in contact with. In our earthly citizenship, I had a big point on this one. I decided to back off on it. But I was just thinking, just in our relationships to this country. This week or these last few Saturdays, we've been going to Caleb's football games. And they start the games with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I appreciate that. I love my country. There's some honor there. But that honor is fleeting. My relationship to this country or whatever country does not determine who I am. It's not what I make my arguments on. That God tells me, you honor the king. You honor those in authority. The problem is that honor can be intoxicating. Let me explain. And that was the problem with the Jewish leaders, I believe, there in John chapter 5. I believe they were intoxicated with this idea of honor and wanting the glory and the recognition. And by that, again, I mean that which is exchanged among men. And you don't have to look far to see it. One of my jobs many years ago, I was a limo driver. Can you believe that? Yeah. And I drove people all around, took them to San Francisco and did stuff. And I would say 90% of my clients were the most beautiful, wonderful people. But I had two or three clients where my boss would say, I'm just warning you. When you pick them up, they want the paper on the back seat at an angle. They want their coffee, and you have to get it here. You will open and close the door for them. They will not tip you. You will take them where they need to go, he says, because they demand to be honored. He says, these are high profile, can I say, big money clients. And I remember looking at that and I thought, how sad. And they wouldn't give me the time of day. if I did something wrong, they were quick to let me know and call my boss. If I didn't open a door or I wasn't a certain distance from the curb, believe it or not. Everything is done to gain prominence, power, authority that men can give. But the problem is that they don't see, and I want us to see or be reminded of, is it's temporary, it's short-lived. And it's dishonorable in view of what men will do to get honor from each other. Let me illustrate this, if you just bear with me for a moment. I was trying to think something that might hit a little closer home. I have heard over the years people say, and I'm going to tell you, I've said it myself. And it goes something like this. It just doesn't pay to be kind to anyone these days. Something along those lines. And the reason why we say that, or the reason why I said it, was they weren't showing any appreciation. They were ignoring my kind gesture. Or they responded in a negative way. So let me go back to that phrase. It just doesn't pay to be... Pay what? Are we using acts of kindness and love as a means to win respect and honor from people? Because that's what I feel like when I say that. Am I seeking to be recognized? Does the statement come from a heart that just doesn't feel appreciated? Maybe another way to put it is, whose honor are we seeking? So I say it's intoxicating. If we're not careful, we can get drawn right into it. Our Lord never intended love and kindness to be a means by which we gain respect. And I tell you why, because there's too many times everybody in this room has extended love and kindness and people have turned around and spit in your face because of it. And they've rejected it. And they've done something cruel with it. The Lord was despised and rejected by men. Did the Lord stop? No, He didn't. And this is not love and kindness failing. This is love and kindness working. You say, how do you say that, Scott? Because we're honoring God. When you and I go out and extend love and kindness and gratitude and whatever else we can think of to the world around us, even when they don't care, they want to reject us, we don't get mad and bent out of shape. It's disappointing, yes. I'm not trying to be lighthearted about this. I'm not suggesting, oh, we'll just let it fly over. It hurts. But to stop and think, wait a minute, does that mean it's not working? No, it is, because it's what God has asked us to do. He has asked us to be kind and loving and to do these things and show the love of Christ. And in that, I'm honoring God. And in that, God smiles. And that's what matters. We need to break the addiction of human approval. Why is the desire for man's glory rather than God's glory contradictory to our faith? Think about it. I mean, why is it that the glory that we seek among men, or the honor, I'm using some words interchangeably here, I understand that, rather than God's glory, so contradictory? I think there's two reasons. One is, first of all, faith in Jesus gives all glory to God. Over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, I want to share with you what Paul said about Abraham. He said, Abraham grew strong in his faith, giving glory to God. That's the nature of saving faith. That's the nature of our faith when we develop that relationship with God and we come to God in obedience and we obey the gospel and we're baptized. We go strong in our faith and we grow in our glory and honor to God. And when it comes to Christ, we surrender the glory for ourselves. And what's beautiful about this is that God will glorify us in due season. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Human praise is tough. It's an obstacle. But we got to get around it. Secondly, faith is drinking living water that satisfies the soul. Over in John chapter 4, verse 14, Christ says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Of course, he's talking about the spiritual. He's talking about the spiritual food and water that he gives. When we are satisfied with this living water, the desire for human glory or honor begins to diminish. I'm going to share something else with you in my job. And Dennis Wade and I and Allison, we all do a very similar thing. When we get done teaching these classes, our students have to do evals on us. And they got to tell us how good we are. At least that's what we're thinking. But you get done and you read these evals and they rate you on a scale of 1 to 5 and then it's averaged. And some of them are pleasant to read, some of them aren't so pleasant to read. But I do read them. And I'm going to tell you something, when you get good evals, it feels good. Everybody here would feel good when you're praised for something that you've done well. You've been thanked. But I started thinking about that, or I've been thinking about that for a long time, and I thought to myself, you know, these evals, they really don't carry any weight. I want to do a good job, don't get me wrong. I want to do good at my job. But they pass. They just kind of get tossed, they get deleted off the website, and they're no more. They're just an eval. But then there's this thing that carries weight with it, and that's the honor, the opportunity that I have to honor God and the honor I will receive from God in due time, knowing that I'm doing what's right. That's the honor that sustains us. That's why I said at the beginning, it falls under the umbrella of honoring God. Here's a thought. Has anybody ever said to you, when you're really taking a firm stance, my grandpa would say this, he'd go, "You willing to die on that mountain, boy?" And it was something that I was stubborn. Yeah. I'm going to hold my ground. And of course, the term means just that. It's a way of saying I'm not moving one inch from what I believe. Now, there are some mountains that I will die on. I will die on the mountain that knowing that God is the creator of this universe and He is all powerful. I will die on the mountain that God has instructed us on how to become saved and have a relationship with Christ. I will die on the evidence of the resurrection, and I could go on and on. But there are some mountains I hope I can climb off of. Let me go back to the illustration a few moments ago when I was talking about love and kindness and not being appreciative. It would be like me saying, "I'll show love and kindness when I start feeling appreciated. But until then, I'm not wasting my time. I will be honored. I will be respected until I get it." Are we willing to die on that mountain of pride? And that's just an example. There's a number that we could consider. I can envision Christ as he's rebuking these Jewish leaders concerning their pride, their self-seeking honor. I almost see myself standing back in the corner. Is this where you want to rest your case? I truly believe that we would want to die on the mountain that God calls us to, and that's the mountain of honor. The honor that God will give us. But it's our choice, and we have to choose wisely. Simply put, honoring God in all things. This could have been a sermon in and of itself, but honoring God, give God the respect, the admiration, the admonition, the awe, the praise, the obedience that is due Him. When we worship God with all of our attitudes, with our actions, with our affections, according to the purpose, His purpose and desire, because God is deserving of the highest honor. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. We, in him, we have breath. We move and we breathe because of God. I ask myself, what can man offer when it comes to honor? What is man? It's fleeting. And no matter which category in life you choose, God must be honored above all. And maybe that means just stopping for a moment in this busy life and opening up your Bible again. I know we're daily Bible readers. Keep it up. But opening up God's Word one more time and just blocking everything out. I mean, literally phones, interruptions, and just, I don't want to say reconnect, but take the moment to remind yourself of who God is. Many years ago. In fact, I don't know if any of the gentlemen are still here. They may be at other congregations. These gentlemen would be in their 40s now. Took a bunch of boys in the Jeep up to the mountains, and there was no moon, and I planned it that way. Beautiful stars. One of the young men looked at me, looked at us, and we're just sitting there, not doing anything, just sitting in the middle of this hill. At, I don't know how many thousand feet we're up. And the young man said, you know, wow, there is really a God. Look at this. And I just let the conversation go. And these young boys who were 12 or 13 start talking about God and creation and how awesome he is. And the conversation kept going about the things that he's done and what they've learned. And somebody was talking about Bible class. And another one started talking about a friend that doesn't believe in God. And I wish I could have captured that moment because I didn't have to say a word. I just let them talk. And we're taking that moment to recognize just how wonderful God is. And we must remember, too, that God honors those who honor him. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 9 through 11 here. Paul says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That each one may receive the things done in the body and according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we all are well known to God. And I also trust are well known in your consciences. We make it our aim, no matter where we're at. And Paul was speaking here that we're going to be pleasing to God because there is one clear cut fact. There's several, but one that stands out in this passage, and it's when Paul says, we will must all appear before the judgment seat of God. We're not going to appear before the judgment seat of men. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of God, and God is going to judge us according to the honor we bestowed or gave or received in this life. God honors those who give their lives to him, who surrender themselves. Every day, as I mentioned a moment ago, we have opportunities to demonstrate our love to God by walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. But just as a reminder, the world is going to scoff and laugh at your peace. You're going to be made fun of. Things are going to be said that are going to be offensive, that are going to be bothersome. But in those instances, I want to encourage you to keep honoring God in those situations. Because while they're laughing at you, or making fun at you, or being really angry and saying bad things about you, guess what? God is rejoicing that a child of his is continuing to honor him. And God is telling us through scriptures, your day is coming. Your day is coming where I am going to reward you for the relationship that you had with me. Because he's the one we want to please. He's the one with whom we desire glory and honor. Over in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, I want to read something that Paul said here. He says, The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. Notice what Paul said. We suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Once again, our Heavenly Father is going to glorify us, provided we suffer with Him. I just want this to be a reminder that we seek honor from God and not from men. There's a quote I came across, and I was unaware from who it was, and Carolyn found it for me. But it says, "Show me the man you honor, and I will know what kind of man you are." And I really like that. Show me who you honor, and I will know what kind of person you are. Maybe another way to put this is show the world that we honor God, so the world can get a glimpse of God. Show the world the honor that matters. That honor that we show our fellow man might be the very thing that leads them to Christ. I don't know, but it might be the very thing. And whether they accept you or reject you, let it go. Learn to let it go. Try to let it go. And keep your focus on heaven. Thank you for your attention. As we close, Dave gets ready to sing a song for us. We do want to offer an invitation. I never want to close out here with just out letting you know that wherever you are at in your spiritual walk, that we're here to help you. Maybe something we said today, maybe something you heard in the Bible study has kind of got your curiosity. Let's study. Grab someone next, sitting next to you and ask them some questions. We'll open up God's Word with you. We'll study with you. Maybe you are at that point. Maybe something that I shared with you this morning has got you thinking about you're ready to make that ultimate commitment to honoring God and entering in a relationship with Him and having all the spiritual blessings that are endless. The blessing of prayer, the blessing of relationships, the blessing of having a foundation for your children, a foundation in your marriages. I mean, it's amazing. Find honor in God. We don't want to miss heaven. Let's stand and sing.